have been declared a good citizen at Paris. Whatever might befall now, he must press on to his journey's end. Not a mean village closed upon him, not a common barrier dropped across the road behind him, but he knew it to be another iron door in the series that was barred between him and England. The universal watchfulness so encompassed him that if he had been taken in a net, or were being forwarded to his destination in a cage, he could not have felt his freedom more completely gone. This universal watchfulness not only stopped him on the highway 20 times in a stage, but retarded his progress 20 times in a day, by riding after him and taking him back, riding before him and stopping him by anticipation, riding with him and keeping him in charge. He had been days upon his journey in France alone when he went to bed tired out in a little town on the high road, still a long way from Paris. Nothing but the production of the afflicted Gabelle's letter from his prison of the Abbaye would have got him on so far. His difficulty at the guardhouse in this small place had been such that he felt his journey to have come to a crisis, and he was, therefore, a little surprised as a man could be, to find himself awakened at the small inn to which he had been remitted until morning, in the middle of the night. Awakened by a timid local functionary and three armed patriots in rough red caps and with pipes in their mouths, who sat down on the bed. "Immigrant," said the functionary, "I am going to send you on to Paris, under an escort. Citizen, I desire nothing more than to get to Paris, though I could dispense with the escort." "Silence," growled the red cap, striking at the coverlet with the butt end of his musket. "Peace, aristocrat." "It is as the good patriot says," observed the timid functionary. "You are an aristocrat. You must have an escort. You must pay for it." "I have no choice," said Charles Darnay. "Choice? Listen to him," cried the same scowling red cap, as if it was not a favour to be protected from the lamp iron. "It is always as the good patriot says," observed the functionary. "Rise and dress yourself, emigrant." Darnay complied and was taken back to the guardhouse, where other patriots in rough red caps were smoking, drinking, and sleeping by a watch fire. Here he paid a heavy price for his escort, and hence he started with it on the wet, wet roads at 3 o'clock in the morning. The escort were two mounted patriots in red caps and tricoloured cockades, armed with national muskets and sabres, who rode one on either side of him. The escort had governed his own horse, but a loose line was attached to his bridle, the end of which one of the patriots kept girded round his wrist. In this state they set forth with the sharp rain driving in their faces, clattering at a heavy dragoon trot over the uneven town pavement, and out upon the mire-deep roads. In this state they traversed without change, except of horses and pace, all the mire-deep leagues that lay between them and the capital. They travelled in the night, halting an hour or two after daybreak, and lying by until the twilight fell. The escort was so wretchedly clothed that they twisted straw round their bare legs and thatched their ragged shoulders to keep the wet off. Apart from the personal discomfort of being so attended, and apart from such considerations of present danger as arose from one of the patriots being chronically drunk and carrying his musket very recklessly, Charles Darnay did not allow the restraint that was laid upon him to awaken any serious fears in his breast, for he reasoned with himself that it could have no reference to the merits of an individual case that was not yet stated, and of representations confirmable by the prisoner in the Abbaye that were not yet made. But when they came to the town of Beauvais, which they did at eventide, when the streets were filled with people, he could not conceal from himself that the aspect of affairs was very alarming. An ominous crowd gathered to see him dismount of the posting yard, and many voices called out loudly, "Down with the immigrant!" He stopped in the act of swinging himself out of